You're listening to Channel Radio. It's 1 o'clock. Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Back from the bush.
I beg your pardon?
Back from the bush. I used to say that about Hilda Marie, didn't I? So I still like to say, yeah, I'm back from the bush.
Oh, Leslie's back from the bush as well.
Who?
I wonder what you were going to talk about.
Who's
for a minute
back from the
there. Leslie, downstairs, the receptionist.
Oh,
she's just back from South Africa.
I know, she didn't look brown at all. I was expecting her to have a little bit of a suntan.
Isn't it winter there at the moment?
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah. What are we in now? No, it should be coming into their spring, I think. Or maybe it is winter. What are we in? March, May, April? Where did March go? I mean, that's what I want to know.
John, I mean, what can you do with her, right?
Where did March go?
I'm so pleased I came.
Yeah, I mean, she just went through an entire year in 3 seconds, didn't she?
I've only just recovered from Christmas, haven't
have you?
Yeah. Still finding bits of tinsel.
Are you? Aren't you planning next Christmas yet?
No.
You should be buying my present now.
Well, it's your August birthday. That's always the thing.
It's my birthday in August 1st, yeah.
You are a Leo, so I tend to get that out of the way first.
Right. And, what are you buying me?
Probably some teas.
Tea and licorice.
I am a bit predictable, aren't I?
Well, I buy you the same for your birthday every year.
Prosecco.
Yeah.
Goes down a treat. I was going to say something profound. Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
I heard on the news today.
Oh,
that
boy.
Prince Charles, you know, he did the parliamentary speech, opening of Parliament.
He did the open Parliament for
and
the Queen.
He mentioned locking on, you know, where these protesters are gluing themselves. So they're trying to make it an offence.
Yeah.
Surely it already is an offence to glue yourself to a petrol station or damage petrol pumps or lie in the road and stop traffic. Surely, I mean, would you go out and do that tomorrow?
No.
You wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't lie down in the middle of the road, A, because I couldn't get up again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my age.
You'd look like one of them rabbits, wouldn't you?
What rabbits?
Well, they'd get run over.
Oh, what, score? Flattened?
Yeah.
Yeah, or pheasant.
Roadkill.
I see a lot of pheasants.
I know people that eat roadkill.
Yeah, badgers and things.
Yeah, they have difficulty with their bicycles, though.
I can't get that.
What's no, don't
that?
Worry about it.
Tell me about it. Is that subtle?
Don't worry,
No, you've got to explain to the listener.
No, I haven't. It's a horrible joke.
Badgers and bikes.
No, roadkill. You're knocking someone off a bike.
Oh, okay.
It was a bad joke anyway, and then making me try and explain it is just pointless.
Well, I'm an exceptionally good driver, touch wood. I've never knocked anybody off a bicycle.
Oh, boy, that made me laugh. Yeah.
I'm a woman driver of many years.
14 years we've been doing this show, Kelly, 14 years, and every week she goes, I'm lost. She rings me, I'm lost, I can't find the studio.
Yeah, but that's not good driving, that's mapping, isn't
that's
it?
Just,
whatever. Actually, I've got a good sense of direction. When I go out with the new husband, he's got a terrible sense of direction. I mean, he's Jewish, as you know, so I call him the Wandering Jew. He loves travelling. He has no sense of direction. He doesn't even know how to get to Canterbury, and we've lived there 26 years.
Yep.
He still goes, oh, do I go right here or do I go left? I've got quite a good sense of direction, but I don't really know this area very well. But your new route, or if we have some American listeners, we could say route.
We could say route.
Your new route, I'm very impressed by. I go follow Tenterden. Not sure why. Then I don't know where on earth I am, and I amble along a bit, and then suddenly I find myself and I'm here with you.
I had to draw a map.
You drew me a little map. But you do keep changing studio every couple of years, you know. I mean, Romney Marsh, I had that off by heart after a couple of years, you know, about 10.
Yeah.
I just followed the smell of the skunk.
Anyway.
Who? Anyway, so yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. I have heard, now this is a first, and I don't know if it's true, and it's a bit of an awful thing to say. It's quite awful. But I have a few contacts in the bit, you know, in the world of media, and I've heard that our Queen is not very well.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a surprise. Proud dear, what, 95?
I know, exactly. So I do send our best wishes, and let's hope she makes, you know, a great Jubilee party, and she's up there on the balcony watching everything.
Yeah. Well, my mum's 93, and I was saying to my mum the other day, and she was going, I said, what's the matter? I said, I'm getting too old for this. I need to give up. I went, no, you're going to get a telegram for the Queen. She went, no, I'm not. She said, if I get a telegram, it will be from the King, because she won't last as long as me.
Oh, I know. Well, God bless our Queen. And I do hope she gets better, but I have it on good authority that she's not well.
Well, clearly she isn't, otherwise she wouldn't have abdicated the responsibility for the opening of Parliament, because it's the first time she's missed it in 59 years.
Well, I have been told what it is, but I'm not going to say on air because it might not be true. But anyway, we send our best wishes. And going back to locking on, I think our police were finding it very difficult to remove those protesters. And did you read about the lady in Thurrock, was it, or in Essex, that nudged one of them with her
car?
I saw the video.
Yeah.
Because they were stopping her.
It was worse than a Premiership footballer going down. It really was. Yeah.
Tell me what happened, because she
had this. It was a Range Rover Evoque, and there was somebody stood in front of her with her hands on the bonnet, and she edged forward. She couldn't have been slower if she tried. If she'd have been pushing the car, she wouldn't have been any faster.
Yeah.
And she just went into and did a backward trip. Somersault and landed on the floor and rolled around and went, they run me over.
And she got a fine.
Yeah.
And they didn't get a fine for rolling about in the road and stopping traffic.
Yeah. I noticed one of the larger petrol stations I went in the other day to fill up had big signs on each of the pumps saying that there's an injunction and it's a criminal offence now to glue yourself to this pump.
Good. I mean, they could put
We live in a bonkers world, don't we? Don't we live in a bonkers world where you put signs up and go, it's a criminal offence to glue yourself to our petrol station?
Meanwhile, in Canterbury, they now have brought in this, you know, that we've had this form to put our thoughts on. And, you know, all the stuff that we moan about as residents, you know, parking all over double yellow lines, parking over the pavement, night fishing, overnight camping, we're on the seafront, all of that stuff. Have you ever been threatened with a slingshot? You know those things that kids have? No, I never have, you know. But and I just wrote the top in capitals, talk to the residents, you know. Meanwhile, they're chasing elderly people dog walking on the wild bit.
It's because they don't fight back.
Exactly, and they're fining them. If the lead is 2 metres long, over 2 metres, they get a fine. It's disgusting.
Right.
And I do think, I don't know what our listeners think, I think we've got enough rules at the moment. Yeah. I feel ruled out of everything. And if you go back a year and a half, we were not allowed to sit on a bench. Yeah. We couldn't walk with a mate, even outside.
Well, look, I mean, our politicians passing all those rules have kind of been hoist by their own petards now, haven't they?
Wow.
With all this nonsense about cake and curry and beer and parties.
But I still don't understand, because I haven't really followed it, because I find it quite boring.
About it.
But the day that Boris had his party and didn't eat a cake, it stayed in a Tupperware, that afternoon he was visiting a school. So if you can visit a school that made him a birthday cake, why can't you have a bit of birthday cake with your bubble that you work with?
Yeah, trying to make sense of the nonsensical is pointless, isn't it? The whole point, for me, the whole point isn't any of the politics over what Johnson did or what Starmer has done or what the ginger woman's done. It's got nothing to do with any of that. It's the fact that the rules were stupid in the first place.
Exactly. But not only that, there's a war going on. We could be facing Boris needs to get on with that, not talking about his cake.
But the whole point that everybody gladly goes sailing straight past is that a lot of people got fined a lot of money for breaking those rules. But when you look back at them, the rules were nonsensical at the time.
Yeah.
You could do that, but you couldn't do that. And you go, well, hold on a minute, there's more people there than there is there. Why can't I see my mum, but I can see 40 people as long as it's in a football stadium? You know, I mean, it was nonsensical nonsense.
It was very, very difficult for parents and carers of children with disabilities in the lockdown because they don't understand the world.
Absolutely, yeah, and that you're absolutely right, Kelly. It was even worse for that. Yeah. You know, we stopped children going to school. We stopped children having birthday parties and stuff like that. And you just think, well, you know, really. But I was going to say something else as well about
nonsensical nonsense. I liked your saying there.
If you're going to have rules, they've got to make sense. Otherwise, people can't work out what you're trying to do. Yeah, and the problem is that the rules didn't make sense. You know, they tried to put caveats in that allowed people to do things that were essential, but then that overrode the reason they were giving you for putting the rules in place in the first place.
None of the rules made sense, and I think it was all a knee jerk. And the fact that the countries all followed each other, especially you know the main big countries like USA and stuff.
Yeah.
What interests me is that Denmark has stopped all vaccinations, and that really interests me. And it has not been in mainstream media much that I've seen.
Yeah, I see America this week pulled the Johnson & Johnson vax altogether as well.
Yeah, exactly.
They took its license away.
But you know, these things have been far too late. It was the same, you know, with Moderna. It was the same with AstraZeneca. We knew there were problems right back. Just to say to anyone that's interested, I am on GB News tonight talking about vaccine. I've been invited in to the studios in London, and I'm on the Mark Steyn show. And on Twitter, he's at Mark Steyn, Steyn, online, I believe, is his Twitter handle.
Yeah, Mark Steyn online.
And he's been amazing because we know there's been censorship. Dr. Anthony Hinton, who's part of the Heart Group, that's H-A-R-T, Heart Group, he copied a BBC editorial about a young lady that sadly died from the vaccine.
Who started her on this again?
And it got censored. And he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And it was a BBC proper story.
Yeah.
So that's what's annoying me, that the more they shut us up, then the more you worry about these vaccines, whereas maybe if they're a bit more open.
Yep.
Shall we introduce our guests?
Well, you can introduce the guests, and we ought to mention our show sponsor this week, and then we ought to read some tweets.
You know, I was going to ask who might our sponsor be.
Were you going to ask that?
Yeah, I was.
Why don't you try asking me that then?
No, because you were busy.
Oh, I know.
Talking about people gluing themselves.
Are you going to ask me now?
Who might our sponsor be?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
Our sponsor this week are the lovely folks at DG East, who are vehicle supply services specialists.
They also love greyhounds.
They certainly do.
Yes, don't we all? In the studio, we're joined by John Lovell, and you can follow him on @thefarm_limited, LTD. And that's John, J-O-N. And Kelly Barker, who is on @BornAnxious2018. And as Paul rightly said, our show sponsor is DG East, number one on the Twitter. And we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Right, we're going to read some tweets. Best business events, don't miss out. This is your last chance, in big capital letters, last chance to enter the Kent Business Awards for Canterbury, which includes Whitstable, Herne Bay, Margate, Ramsgate, Broadstairs. You can also enter the Ashford Awards, which includes Romney Marsh, Folkestone, Deal and Dover. Both awards close for nominations on the 11th of May. Businessawardskent.co.uk is the place to go to find out more and to nominate yourself. And Bev and Tony of Chips and Dinks have been on. Tuesday wouldn't be a Tuesday without the Business Bunker show. They have inspirational guests. That's you guys. That's John and Kelly.
No pressure.
Inspirational guests, cheesy music, and of course the crew, Paul and Jules. Thank you, Bev. Chips and Dinks. Chips and Dinks, repair anything, make anything, build anything. They're brilliant, aren't they?
Well, I keep meaning to talk to them about my alloys. You must remind me once we're off air, because although I'm a really, really good driver.
Her alloys are shot. Because she's such a good driver, John, that she's only curved it 47 times.
But when you go from a 4x4 Honda...
Here we come with all the excuses. Little, it wasn't me, Gov.
A little low-strung Mercedes that you can barely climb out of at my age, especially I've got platforms on today, and trying to climb... Look, Paul Andrews.
Don't put your legs in here.
My platforms, trying to climb out with them when you're low and there's a little curb. I mean,
it's not good.
No, it's not good. I had to crawl, actually.
But you're of an age when you get out of sports cars by falling out sideways and landing on the floor, aren't you?
Ab fab style.
Samantha Bowen has been on, and she's saying to Kelly, have a fantastic time on the show, Kelly.
Oh, I love Sam.
Yes, we... We have a Seven Oaks. I love to hear about them. Very posh area of Kent, of course. And they're blessed, you know, with a long...
They are blessed.
Blessed with a long and interesting history.
Yeah.
Or histoire. They, yet, to many people... You can butt in if you want.
No, no, I was just going to say... have we
get it off your chest.
Have we counted their trees lately?
It's the first thing I've read, and yeah. You're already butting them.
No, I just wonder if they counted their trees lately.
Count their trees?
Yeah, well, they were called Seven Oaks because there were seven oaks, but they lost a few in the storm in 87, didn't they? And they've had to replant them, and then one of them self-seeded, so they ended up with eight, but they weren't going to change the name, so they just pretended one of them isn't there.
Out of little acorns.
Yeah.
They're
poplars, actually.
Talking not about... are they poplars? Is that a sycamore tree? Isn't that a sycamore?
Oh, don't worry about it.
No, come on.
No.
Poplars?
Poplars.
Are they sycamore trees that do that flying thing that we used to do as kids?
Hold on, well, what do you want to know? Are they oak trees, poplars or sycamores?
Well, if it's seven oaks, they've got to be oak trees.
Well, exactly.
Why are you saying poplars?
It was a joke.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just as bad as your previous one,
yeah,
which was about roadkill on bikes.
Yeah,
I never got that one at all.
It's her age, listener.
Yeah. Shall I read this? I did have
you go for it. Yeah.
Did you see my breakfast this morning?
I did. You had a kipper.
Yeah, I did. So my brain should be working. Fish oil, see?
Yeah.
Seven Oaks is blessed with a long and interesting histoire, yet to many people that is not known. And so the town team has created a trail which both visitors and residents alike will find interesting and informative to follow. And the trail is self-guided, which means someone like me would get lost, which means that users follow it using their smartphone. The guide features a map of the 3-mile circular route, and for each point of interest, there is at least one photo and a potted history. The route takes about 2 to 3 hours to complete, and it can be done in shorter stages if preferred. The trail is hosted by Trail Tail and is accessed by downloading their app from home_trailtail or the App Store. So that's Trail as in T-R-A-I-L, Tail, T-A-L-E. A bit of a tongue twister, that, isn't it, Trail Tail?
Yep.
Seven Oaks Mayor, Councillor Marilyn Cannett. Is that a man or a woman, Marilyn?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Do you think it's a Welsh name? It's quite an unusual name, isn't it? Marilyn and then Canet, C-A-N-E-T. That's very unusual.
Canet,
maybe. Maybe, yeah. If anybody, any listeners know the origins, you could Google it while we're on air. Marilyn is spelled M-E-R-I-L-Y-N and then Canet, C-A-N-E-T, Canet, as you say. Very interesting name. We want to know the origins, please.
Huguenots.
Yes, it sounds very Huguenotic.
It does.
He's launching the trail, and he says this is
she.
Well, we don't know. It could be.
Yeah.
There's Marilyn men and Marilyn ladies.
Yeah. Okay.
What other names are there that you can be? Either Leslie can be a female or a male. You're just trying to get me off the track. Anyway, Councillor Marilyn Cannett says, this is a wonderful way to introduce people to the history and the stories of Seven Oaks. The town is 900 years old this year, and it's fitting that we should have a simple way of telling the world how much and why we love this super town. So well done them, and let us know about the trees. We'd love to know how many you're planting and if they're poplars or oaks.
Absolutely. I've had a really interesting tweet from a new follower funding Medway Falcons. And they say, could we have a shout out, please? All about me and my buddy. We're introducing handball to autistic children in Medway. Let me find their Twitter handle, because it's Falcons, as in the bird. Falcons Medway is their Twitter handle. Hold on, let's find out some more. All about handball with Arctic Falcons women's team and Medway Falcons Handball Club. And so it's an established handball club, and they are now introducing it to autistic children. And I think they're trying to raise funds in order to do that. So give them a follow on Twitter. As I said, their Twitter handle is Falcons with an S, Medway, all one word. And on there, you'll find links to their pledge page. So do support them, please. That's an order. Give them money.
I will follow them and I will share it.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. Yeah, great. It's coming up that time when we need to do some cheesy tunage in a minute, but let me just...
Well, Intune PR are listening in and they say...
Hello, Darren.
Hello,
Darren.
We're a little bit late to the start today, but lovely to hear Jules Serkin's mellifluous tones.
Blimey.
Did you know I had a mellifluous tone?
Yeah, it's an Argentinian red, isn't it?
And and Vanilla Webb's tones.
Oh, thank you, Darren. Yeah.
On today's... hashtag Business Bunker show again today and on until 3 p.m. So warm welcome to you guys and thank you for listening in Tune PR.
Thank you.
No cakes today because when they come in, they bring cakes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I'm just trying. I've missed something and now I can't find it. You know what it's like.
Casey K9 2014 on the Twitter. That's Casey K9. Hi, Jules Serkin. How about a shout out for a very patient greyhound waiting to meet the apple of his eye? So for those that don't know, I have a rescue greyhound who likes to eat my French doors. She's not going down very well when she left. But Casey K9 has a little crush on Darcy, mm-hmm. Darcy Greyhound.
Paragon Drones, hi Paul and Jules. Looks like another fascinating lineup of guests. We would love a mention on the show, please. Bring on the tunes, waiting for the cheesy tunage.
We all are.
Yeah, well, yeah. Should we do it?
Well, you can if you want.
Let's do it.
About that time. Will I know it or not?
Yeah, you will. You'll know it straight away.
It's no good doing that face.
Well, listen, you'll get it.
Sounds like Lonnie Donegan or something.
Almost.
Some of them quite old, 60s.
Mm.
Are they going to sing?
Yeah, yeah.
Shadows?
No.
Oh, Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, I'm going to work on Maggie's farm, am I?
Who let that cat in the studio?
Yay.
My new husband loves him.
Yeah.
Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. Bit of Bob Dylan there. Ain't going to work on Maggie's farm.
Do you know, my new husband is absolutely bonkers on Bob Dylan.
I used to be a big Dylan fan many years ago.
Well, the reason I didn't recognise it is because I'm not mad on him. And I like a lot of his songs. I think he's amazing and he's an amazing poet. And I often like some of his songs sung by other people.
Well, funnily enough, we had a version by the Specials. And I listened to it, and it was even worse.
What, the Maggie's Farm? Was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't actually know that song, but obviously his his voice is just
You'll understand why I picked a cheesy tunage with the word farm in it in a moment.
I will.
But I looked on the database.
I love a man in britches.
And tractor porn. We had about 20 tracks about farms, and I listened to all of them, and they were all awful. They were all dreadful. And some of them, the one that was the best cheesy tunage, right, you'll like this, Kelly, right, it was On the Farm by Sally Barker. And I thought, I've got everyone. Yes, it was a dirge. It was awful. There's no way I could play. It was a terrible, terrible song.
You won't be able to move away from Old MacDonald. It's the best farm.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we haven't got a copy. That? I was going to just play Old MacDonald Farm. And you're quite right, John. And I didn't have a copy. But that leads me into introducing John formally. John, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. John is from the farm. See what I did there? Visual support powered by Sitecall. He is. Yeah. John, good afternoon. Welcome to the Bunker Show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure, my friend. Now, the one thing that you don't have anything to do with is farms, really.
Don't deal with tractors, don't deal with cows, don't deal with corn.
No, absolutely.
None of the above.
Corn. Except on this show, with plenty of corn.
Well, there's loads of corn on here. Yeah.
Corny, and cheesy.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Why don't you tell us what you do?
Okay, so the farm visual support powered by Sitecall, it's a part of the overall business, which is actually the Farm Process Management Limited. And it's a bit of a story. People always ask me whether I have a farm, and ultimately the answer is no. The farm name came about because we actually farm people's databases and lead management.
Right.
So my background, up until the start of COVID, I spent 20 years in the automotive sector, working my way up from a car salesman at a Renault dealership back in the year 2000, all the way through 20 years later to be the general manager of a Bentley and Lamborghini dealership in Tunbridge Wells.
Wow.
And quite a lot of roles in between. So 20 years in one industry meant, you know, it's a very hard-nosed and difficult industry, but processes and procedures are paramount to be successful. Mm. Cutting a very long story a little bit shorter, I met my current business partner, who's called Claire Burrows and runs a very good company called AnswerCom.
I know Claire.
Hello, Claire. She's been on the show, isn't she?
She has been on the show, yeah.
Quite a while back.
So myself and Claire, we met actually at a BNI meeting. I was a guest there and she was standing in for somebody.
Was it one of the business breakfasts?
It was.
Do you know, I used to go to those back in the day. There's your timer, darling. Yeah. You're up though, it's fine.
Sorry.
Go for the 5:30 sort of one.
Yeah.
And then I'd get home by about 11, it feels like the middle of the night. It does.
It takes some getting used to, but
it does. But they are powerful.
They are very good. Yeah. And the power of it is you don't just get business, but you get business partners. So that's, you know, myself and Claire met, and we got talking, and funny story is it wasn't until about 6 months ago that I realised that it wasn't what I had to say that was of interest, but I actually turned up to that meeting in a Lamborghini and I think she thought it was mine, so I had to let her down gently and then she had to like what I had to say. So we decided, you know, she's got a very successful call answering service which deals with incoming inquiries and telephone calls for businesses, and we wanted something really to complement that, which built in process management, customer service and some outbound sort of database work, really taking day-to-day processes that people know they should be able to do every day,
right,
but don't have the time or the manpower to do. We can now do those things remotely. Right. And through my time in the motor trade, there was one particular dealership that was particularly busy, and I took a slightly different approach to the sales team there, and rather than flooding the department with lots of salespeople, I actually took some away and created a mini hub that would deal with incoming inquiries better.
Right.
And then we nicknamed that the farm, because we were farming those inquiries, those leads, yep, until that customer was ready to speak to a sales exec. And the name stuck. And right, that's basically what we do now for businesses.
Okay.
Fast forward a few months, I met a fantastic company called SiteCall, which you know, I'll explain in a bit more detail in a minute. But now, certainly with the latest legislation in some of the building regulation changes, it's really, really prevalent in today's market. And very proud to represent it, and I'll explain more shortly.
Sure. Okay. So let's chunk this off so that we all kind of get in from the same hint sheet. Mm. So you've got a sales process organisation.
Yeah.
So you work on behalf of clients.
Yeah. So, for instance, if I talk in a headline, many companies, the projects we're working on at the moment primarily are outbound call campaigns.
Right.
So if you are a small business, you will have a database of people that are either lapsed or you're not maximising the opportunity with.
Sure.
But the obvious thing to do when it comes to marketing and advertising is often spend more money on new inquiry. And quite often that's a lot of money to generate new inquiry.
Yep.
So ours is a slightly different approach. You know, if you spent the same money, if not a little bit less, we can actually actively market your current database,
yep,
in whatever message you would like to deliver in that moment to bring people back into the fold, because you already have a relationship with them.
Yep.
So the key is, it's not a cold call, it's not a hard sell. Those people have either inquired with you, so had an interest at some point, or have spent money with you in the past, so definitely have an interest with you.
Yeah.
And what we do is we just reignite that flame.
Yeah.
If you don't have the time or the personnel to do it yourself.
Absolutely. It's an absolutely known fact in marketing terms, isn't it, that so many people do not leverage their existing client base and spend far much more time trying to generate new customers. And you see it in big organisations like... Especially mobile phone companies who seem to be proud of the fact they churn customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's more interested in finding somebody new.
Yeah.
You know, from the background in automotive, customer service was at the forefront of what we did.
Yeah.
And the key to that customer service was keeping our current client base informed,
yeah,
whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Whether that's because their service is due or because there's a new deal on the table.
Yeah.
The current customer base got far more activity than incoming new people.
Yeah.
From dealership level, manufacturers and franchise, you know, at the top end, you know, whether it be the brand, they want to find new people. That's what they're there for, to attract new people into the brand. But at dealership level, it was about keeping the ones you had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because most of them are especially with cars, and most of them are loyal customers. You know, if you're a Bentley driver, you tend to like Bentleys and you tend to go with Bentleys. And
if somebody wants to spend, you know, an amount of money with you, whether it be Fiat, well, you know, back in the day, or Land Rover, where I spent a lot of my time, if somebody chooses to spend that amount of money with you, they can really spend that across the board in different brands, certainly different dealerships of even the same brand. You know, why they choose to spend the money with you is what's important. And that's about providing a level of service, which means they're comfortable parting with their hard-earned cash to have something that's an enjoyable product like a car.
Okay. So let's move it on now and talk about SiteCall. And did you mention that they're in the construction?
Yeah, so SiteCall is the world's leading visual support tool. So what does that mean? You know, we all see the benefits of a visual conversation today. You know, that's why FaceTime and WhatsApp, etc. exist, because we'd rather see what's going on than have somebody explain it to us. And SiteCall exists at enterprise level, predominantly before my involvement, which I'll talk about shortly. And what they do is they offer a software solution to people that can offer remote visual support to maybe engineers in the field. So for instance, engineering sectors, insurance sectors for assessments. Some of the large companies they deal with are Allianz Insurance. I mean, Allianz Insurance have nearly a quarter of a million site call sessions a year that they do with their client base, whether that be engineers or their customers. Manufacturers, motor manufacturers, Bosch, you know, really large organisations. Where we come in at the farm, we're the only supplier of SiteCall in the UK and actually globally at this at the SME level. Predominantly businesses like SiteCall, they deal at enterprise level because it's all about finding large companies that can spend lots of money buying lots of licenses at a time. We are the only company in the UK that can sell you one license upwards. So if you are now a small, medium enterprise that don't want to spend you know, a lot of money on a tool that can help you provide a level of service, you can do that now through us. And the reason why I mentioned construction is there's just been a construction change within the legislation. So the Building Safety Act has just been passed as the Building Safety, sorry, it's just been passed to the Building Safety Act, which means that through the golden thread, there's now extra proof required through digitalisation for construction companies signing off materials and processes on construction sites in light of Grenfell Tower. And SiteCall, through us and through the use of a mobile phone on construction sites, can actually digitally record the required information to pass this latest legislation.
Just so that I understand, can we pick an example of a small business that's going to buy one license and what they would actually do with it? You know,
how
it
would,
you know, your choice, who you kind of use an example. But
I mean, it's multifaceted, and obviously through us, you know, one use case for a business ends up being 100 use cases
because of course
they buy it with one intention in mind, and it can really be for anything. But I'll give you a couple of scenarios. So I won't mention the manufacturers, but if you have a well-known vacuum brand today and you phone their customer services because it wasn't operating properly, the first thing they now do is send a text message to your phone while you're talking to them. And once you click on the link on the mobile phone, they'll be able to see what you see through the camera on your mobile phone. So they can offer technical support, or they can document the evidence. So that's a use case for it. Insurance assessors use it to survey potential problems. So I met SiteCall because I put an insurance claim at home for potential subsidence. Cedric Insurance used the tool. They phoned me up one morning to do a remote inspection, and they did an inspection of my property remotely without using the need to drive to see me by using SiteCall.
So through your phone?
Through my phone. I was the phone holder. Obviously, I have no technical expertise in this at all. But they were able to direct me literally left and right, so they could take the required information and complete a full site survey remotely. And the ability to do that, especially now with the cost of fuel, et cetera, means that not only can SME businesses potentially earn more money because your speed of response to customers is much quicker, but now you can save money without the need to travel and waste your time and fuel energy in getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, funnily enough, a few years ago, I can't even remember what I had a problem with. I had a problem with something, and I was trying to explain it to the bloke on the phone, and I went, can't I just send you a picture? And he went, oh, yeah, I suppose so.
And of course, you can send a picture, but the person who's the expert, the guy on the end of the phone, he loses control of that conversation at that point. As a customer, you've got a little bit of extra work to do, which is a bit of a pain in the backside. You've got to take some pictures. Then you've got to remember to email them or WhatsApp them to the guy. Then he calls you back and says, well, actually, you took it of the wrong bit. Can you take it of something else? And the whole process is really painful. Whereas if you could just have a phone call coming into the business that says, I need some help, please, can you have a look for me? While you're on, I'm just going to send you a text through my computer to your phone, and I can have an immediate look at what's happening. Then the speed of response and the customer service and the value on your product becomes much higher.
No, I get that. I get that. Absolutely. So, you know, for me, the old clunky way of doing it, was an intro into starting a process like that, and now you've got a tool that actually works.
And you know, please allow me to say that the tool is something that I represent. So SiteCall is an American company. They've been going since 2008 and had nearly $100 million invested in building the platform.
Right.
You know, so the product itself, I never have any worries about the product itself because it's built to do what it's supposed to do by somebody far superior than I'll ever be. Where we come in as a process management business, we're not just selling a bit of software for software's sake. It's important that we implement this software into your business and make sure it's utilised to the best of your ability. Because the key to us is it's an annual licence. And unlike some others, you don't pay every time you use it. It's completely free of use then for that 365-day period.
Right.
Excellent.
So if your telephone call needs to last 10 seconds, you can. If it needs to last an hour, it can.
Yeah.
Mm, fabulous.
Fantastic. I like the sound of that. It sounds, I mean, you know, because I'm going to have a bit of a moan here.
Again.
It's unusual for me, I know. But, you know, so many organisations waste time. They waste their own time. They waste their customers' time, and they waste the value of their relationship with a customer by doing daft things.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I know this isn't relevant to your software, but you know, things that drive me bonkers. I had a very well known home service company kept texting me saying, "Your emergency call out engineer will be with you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning." I'm going, I don't even have a contract with you. I don't even know who you are. Well, I do know who you are, home service. Or did I just say who they were? You know, so I eventually rang them, and you go through this stupid process where they go, "What's your customer number? I haven't got one." Well, you can't ring here. "No, I'm trying to tell you something." "No, but you're not a customer." "I know." And And that went on for 4 weeks of them sending an engineer to an address that didn't exist, you know, because their processes didn't work.
And you know, that's what the core of the business is all about. So coupled with AnswerCom, who's obviously my business partner's other company, we have end-to-end customer service solutions.
Yeah.
From answering your telephone for a new inquiry if you're unavailable, we can deal with these sorts of calls for people. We can dial out. You know, it's an end-to-end customer service solution because we know it's lacking in many industries, and not because people don't want to do it. It's sometimes they just don't know how.
The
processes are wrong. But until someone tells them what good processes look like, it's hard to make those changes.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to SiteCall in the construction industry, it really is at the moment, you know, for anybody who's in construction and is aware of the regulation changes and has to go through the process of golden thread and get themselves compliant for moving forward for the legislation to make sure they can work. You know, I'm taking some great advice from a guy called Jeff Wilkinson, who's the buildinginspector.org.
Oh, I know Jeff.
Yeah. Really, really good guy in this market. Yeah. He's the one that's highlighted the fact to me that there's this change coming, and by his own words, he spent 2 years trying to find a tool that would help his guys in the field that didn't cost a lot, that didn't mean that somebody had to install, you know, a massive digital on construction site that could just be used by a mobile phone.
Yeah.
So myself and Jeff, you know, he's made me more excited about the prospect of the future. And Jeff, you know, if anybody wants some advice on building regulation changes, he's your man. So, you know, together I'm quite sure that it's the right place at the right time.
Okay. And just remind me again, John, when did you launch the business?
So we only launched the business through lockdown, the farm process management.
Right.
We took SiteCall on throughout last year, but really it's from January. Built the infrastructure behind it because, as I say, it's all we're the only people to do it, so we're trying to find its place. So really from January of this year, SiteCall started to take hold. But we've been going a couple of years now.
Fantastic. I love the sound of that. It makes perfect sense to me. I can see the benefit both of the process that you're going through in general terms and SiteCall. I can see both of those. I get very upset with big companies and their crap processes. I really do. I get really annoyed. Banks are the worst. I used to work in banking, and I worked in banking technology. And one of the things I'd always say to my guys is, it's clever inventing technology, but at the end of it, it's a person.
Yeah.
And you have to think about the person all the time. And most processes don't.
No.
You just go round and round in circles.
And do you know what? Normally, there's not enough people challenging, you know, and I think that's, if ever I go into a business and do a process consultancy,
yeah.
all you'll hear me ask many times is why?
Yeah.
You know, why have you chosen to do that? Why yeah. have you found that necessary? Why do you do this?
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't know why,
yeah.
then don't do it.
Yeah, then you why know, are you doing it? Exactly, doing. Yeah.
Because the person you need to ask, and I think people at the highest level in businesses sometimes forget to ask the people doing the job what they would do.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, they're the ones dealing with the customer at the coalface or whatever, and they hold the knowledge to improve your processes.
Yeah.
So unless an outside company sometimes doesn't go in and say, you know, why, nobody stops to ask the question.
Yeah, you're 100% correct, especially about the disconnect between management and coalface in terms of understanding what actually happens. You know,
and again, it's because everybody's busy. You know, I don't think it's because people do it wrong.
Yeah,
knowingly. Yeah. I think it's because life takes over.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes an outside company, an outside person like myself, just saying, "Well, put the brakes on for a minute. Let's have a little conversation." And
yeah, because it's interesting, isn't it? As well that you tend to. Processes that are designed internally, yeah, aren't, from my point of view, and not enough people go and apply their mum test. Mm. And what I mean by that is you get your mum to ring in and use their process and go, could she work her way through this? I did a big consultancy years ago on an IVR box manufacturer, you know, an interactive voice box, these things where they says, press one if you've got a Wilkie eye, press two if you broke your nose, you know, da, 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 da. They never put the message that you've got, yeah? So whatever your problem is never one of the list, yeah? But one of the first things I said to this organisation that I was working with is, have any of you ever tried to phone your own IVR box? And they all look at each other and they go, well, you know, I'm sure we did. Yeah. Try it. Just try it. And don't give up, you know, and just ring the bloke that you know that you can ring to sort this out. Go through the customer's experience of using your processes, then come back and tell me why you do it.
Oh, and don't forget, the customer isn't an expert.
Exactly.
You know, we're writing the processes based on the knowledge we have and the jargon we use.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the person who's meeting you for the first time may not have any idea what it is you're talking about.
Exactly.
So break it down to its most simplest form.
Yeah. No, I love it. Great stuff. So, John, if people want to find out more about farm management processes and SiteCall, what's the way to do that?
So our website is www.thefarmltd.co.uk and then just add /visual support if you want to know about SiteCall. So it's thefarmltd.co.uk/visual support and the telephone number for the business is 01892 617804.
Fantastic, thank you so much for that. There is a link to that website with the extension on the Kent Business Radio website, so just go into the homepage or to today's show 578 and you'll find the link there if you want to find out more. For the moment, John, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure to talk to you. Right, we've got a few minutes before we join the newsroom.
Tenterton Chamber have said, we're enjoying the Business Bunker show with Jules Serkin and Vanilla Webb, her little helper. How about a shout out for Busy Team preparing for a busy summer of networking events? That's Tenterton Chamber. You can find them on Tenterton Chamber 1. And a big hello to Wayne Cullington, who's listening in, one of my little vax damaged friends.
Okay.
And he's taking his dad to hospital and he's listening courtesy of the hospital.
Wi-Fi. We're on in the hospital, are we?
Yeah, we are. Hello.
Hello. Hope you all get well soon.
Yeah.
For classic cars, chart-topping music and food, motor on down to the Bettsanger Country Park. The Deal Classic Car Show is back at Bettsanger Country Park on Saturday the 28th of May. It's from 10 a.m. till 9 p.m. Over 700 beautiful vehicles will be on display, showcasing the best of vintage British cars and motorcycles. Four-time Brit Award nominees and one of the biggest acts of the noughties, Top Loader, will be performing their classic songs, including the global hit Dancing in the Moonlight. Dancing in the Moonlight.
Dancing in the Moonlight.
So, Saturday the 28th of May, the Deal Classic Car Show.
I do love a classic car. Because I often send you pictures, don't I? Because we have a little classic car.
She sends me pictures and goes, what's this?
Yeah.
That's a car, love.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah, but what car?
What's the Volvo I love that I could have bought?
Oh, a P1600.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
And I do love a Ford Capri.
Yeah.
I love an MG.
She's very 70s here.
Yeah.
And she's in meltdown now because we lost Dennis yesterday.
Oh,
Dennis
yeah.
Waterman, you know,
yeah,
Minder. Yeah. Or according to our government, Pete Waterman.
Oh, no. No, is that what they called him?
Yeah, did you see?
No.
Kay Burley from Sky News tweeted, rest in peace, Pete Waterman.
Oh dear. Isn't he a record producer?
Yeah. Stock, Aitken and Waterman.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Mike and I follow each other on Twitter, and we were I said, have you seen your mate's died? And he went, what? And I went, no, he hasn't really.
Who follows you, Mike?
Mike Stock.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, you've got friends in high places.
Yeah, he's a good
lad. I'd like him to follow me. Do you know, somebody, Twitter's odd, somebody sent me a really long DM about thyroid meds. I know this will bore you. It'll be another show that I must do. They sent me this lovely thing with loads of info, and this is what I do because I buy my own medicines. It's expensive. And then
she's a drug dealer.
I replied, thank you. I'm not feeling very well at the moment, but I will read this later because it was Reams. Mm. And then I went back to talk to her on this DM and she'd blocked me. I mean, how does that work?
Oh, yeah.
So I can never discuss it with her, never talk to her again. It's very odd.
Yeah. Sometimes people do that accidentally.
That's what I'm thinking.
But one of the problems with Twitter...
I took it very personally.
Well, things turn up in... I'm blocked by hundreds of people.
Well, but, I can't blame them.
But things turn up in my timeline that you can't read. And it goes, this account won't show you. And you go, well, why have you put it in there then?
Yeah.
Because now I don't know what it said because you don't tell me. And you don't tell me who it is that won't say it.
I get stuff from months away that suddenly hop up for me.
But yeah, but sometimes, you know, because people aren't very clever sometimes with their technology. I've had a whole spate this week.
He says, looking at me.
Yeah, no. I've had a whole spate this week of people moaning on Twitter. Three people in the last couple of days have gone, oh, I don't know what Twitter are doing, da-da-da-da-da. I can't follow anybody anymore. I look at their account, I go, you've hit your 5,000 limit.
Yeah.
The what?
Yeah.
There's a limit. If you read the Twitter Terms of Service, once you hit 5,000 people that you follow, you can't follow any more until a proportion follow you back. Right, the way round it is two ways. You either get them to follow you back or you unfollow the people that haven't followed you back, then you can add more. Oh, it's right there, right at the top of the Twitter terms and conditions of how to set up an account. But people never read it, do they?
5,000.
That's 5,000.
Quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, so people have been on for a long time. And that's why, you know, all of a sudden this barrier hits and they go, oh, I don't understand that.
Wow.
Anyway, I do like an MG. I do like a Ford Capri. I was a JPS girl. I meant to butt in with this, but my Twitter was going bananas. So I was a JPS girl. When you were talking about your car, was it Lamborghini?
Lambo. Mm.
Lamborghini. I had a Lotus Esprit Turbo, and I was 25. So I was literally just old enough to be insured by the company. And we used to take it all round to Brands Hatch and places. And in those days, you could park in Clapham Junction, you know, outside my little flat.
I've seen that film.
Yeah. But
Dennis Waterman was in it.
But it was great.
Up the Junction.
Yeah, was he?
Yeah. He was one of the main...
I loved Minder. I mean, we need more shows like that.
Yeah.
But back to Lotus. Great car. And, of course, I was 25, so I'd get to the traffic lights. And, of course, you could turbo. You could just beat anyone. But there were three of them, three girls that had them, women, whatever we were at 25. And the other two got written off. They just drove too fast around corners and ended up in cow fields and things upside down. And so I stayed upright.
Did you?
I'm a good driver, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She says.
But the Lamborghini must be amazing.
Oh, yeah. I've got to say, it wasn't mine. I was there
well,
driving.
Neither was mine. It was a company car, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they're great fun. I just love the way they put a smile on other people's faces.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange. I spent 20 years in the car trade and I'm not necessarily into cars. But what I liked was the way they made other people feel. And, you know, they are phenomenal bits.
Yeah.
It's really
I can't work all the stuff in modern cars. There's just too much, isn't there?
It's really odd. I've had loads of exotic cars. I used to own a motor
racing.
You've
had exotic women and exotic cars.
I used to own a motor racing team as well.
Okay.
And I've had loads of exotic cars, Aston Martins, Ferraris and all the rest of it. I hated Lamborghinis.
Did you, yeah?
Yeah. They've got no turning circle.
I wouldn't
circle.
Mind one. Just to send me one, I wouldn't mind one.
They've got no turning circle. You have to do a 48-point turn just to park it.
The Merc is great for turning and cornering. It's really, really good. Yeah. I noticed when I went home. What do you drive now? A bicycle.
I'll pass on that question.
Cagey.
Yeah, no, I've got a little Peugeot for myself. My wife's got Mercedes A-Class. So,
fabulous.
Yeah, when I came out of the trade, you know, you spend many years having company cars on a budget, and I'm not a big, I say, car fan. So when I had to go and buy a car for the first time in 20 years for myself, for me, it was all about keeping it to my company car tax bracket and making sure I wasn't paying any more, rather than going out and finding something maybe a little bit more fancy.
But don't you think, even though you're not mad on cars, Paul Andrews and I are, so we'll just talk about them, that cars in the 60s and the 70s were just a nicer shape. So I find them a bit boxy now,
Most cars now are tested in the same wind tunnel, so they all look the same.
Look very boxy, I think.
You've got three or four classes of car, haven't you? You've got the small hatchback, you've got the racer hatchback, you've got a coupe and a saloon and a two-seater sports car. And, it's very difficult to tell the difference between the different makes because they've all been designed fairly similarly.
Well, mostly they're shared, you see, by a parent company. Especially when I spent some time at Citroën, we had the Citroën C1. And it was the exact same car as the Peugeot 107 and the Toyota Aygo.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you lifted the bonnet on the Citroën C1 back then, there was a Toyota label under the bonnet.
Really?
So, yeah. I had four of those. Mm. I have four Peugeot 107s.
Why did you have four? You've only got two legs.
And they're all sign written. When a company car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Jobs and Kent cars.
Yeah, yeah. Have you got rid of them now?
Well, I think we still got two.
Okay.
Well, got rid of them. They melt in rainwater. They were so cardboardy. And the worst thing about those, I'm going to have another rant.
I used to see your drivers in them, your staff.
The clutch.
With their feet out the bottom, like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah. The clutches on those things were, I don't know what they were made of paper. They'd last about 10 minutes before you had to have a new clutch every 10 minutes.
Well,
But the reason that everybody bought them is at the time they with the lowest CO2 output.
Free tax, yeah. Like £20 or something.
Is it true that the Citroën can't be clamped because they're so low? I heard that from someone.
No, I mean, the old Citroëns used to have air suspension.
The really old ones.
So
they couldn't be clamped.
I don't think that's the reason why, but it's probably a byproduct of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Citroën made a car that couldn't be clamped.
That's
what their intention was.
Did Clouseau have a Citroën, Inspector Clouseau?
My dad used to drive a Citroën Safari, which was an estate car, and it had that. It had its self-levelling. So when you pulled up somewhere and turned the ignition off, the car would sink.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's great. You wouldn't know where you were, were you?
Exactly.
I was saying, but
it was specifically for people like you, so you could get out on the curb.
Well, Herne Bay curbs are very difficult. What did I ask him, John, but he ignored me? I can't remember now.
No, I was gone, sorry.
No, it's ridiculous. We'll have to listen back.
Yeah.
I asked him something about cars. I can't remember what. Yeah. But a Ford Capri, think of that. That lovely bonnet they had. The lovely, see, you're not a car. I can tell.
Mm. They're cool.
They are beautiful. Yeah.
You really loved the Volvo P1600, didn't you?
When I was 15 and a half, my dentist, I worked for a dental surgery in Essex, and he offered me his Volvo, whatever it is.
I bet he did.
For £150. And of course, my wage was like £25 a week or something. That's how old I am.
Oh, I've just Googled it. It's a nice looking car.
It's beautiful, and it was white.
Is that the Volvo?
Yeah.
What Roger Moore.
It's what the Saint used to drive.
Yeah. I think John's too young to know about Roger Moore. See, look, he's got quite excited about a car.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could have had that for £150 and I couldn't afford it.
You can still buy them on the second-hand market. There's still quite a few about.
How much are they? A bit more than 150.
Mm. Well, they are more than 150 quid, but you're not talking about a lot of money. There's a lot of them about still.
I might have to get one.
Yeah,
send me a link.
Yeah, okay.
And what we do now? Shall I read something?
Very quickly, because we've got 2 minutes before we join the newsroom.
Well, Paul Andrews, this will interest you. There's a construction firm, and I think it'll interest our guest John. A construction firm has scooped two major awards at a leading industry event, and he's dedicating one to a colleague who sadly died last year. Paddock Wood-based Baxel Construction has carried off the Building Contractor of the Year for firms in England with a turnover in excess of £15 million and a training initiative of the year at the National Construction Awards of Excellence. So well done, Baxel Construction. They don't name who their colleague was, so we'd like to know if you're listening in.
Cool. Thank you for that. we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to talk to Kerry Barker of
Born Anxious.
She doesn't look anxious.
I knew it was anxious, and then I thought, there's a word in front of it. Oh, it's born anxious, isn't it? And then I thought, anxious born. No, but that doesn't make sense. Born anxious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear from her. And she looks gorgeous. And she's in a really lovely, floaty maxi dress. Am I right? Is it maxi?
Yes.
Because I can see her from the waist up, but she floated in looking all gorgeous.
Absolutely.
I mean, John looks nice.
John looks gorgeous. He's got a Prince of Wales check suit on.
Edged in.
He's got a lovely lining on his suit. I've noticed the lining on that jacket. Very posh.
What colour is it?
It's blue.
Is it?
Little cool things on it.
Right, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Kelly.
Can't